those who feel pain for what is going on in Syria, the bloodshed and the wounding and the displacement and destruction and sabotage, they must point the fingers of accusation at this time more than any time before. They must point the finger at those who are preventing the political dialogue and the political solution in Syria. And they are well known, those who are preventing such dialogue and solution. It doesn't need any special information or any American espionage. They are well known, and this is the responsibility of the Ummah. Now, the OIC called for a political solution, Organization of Islamic Cooperation. The Arab League called for a political solution. If you're honest, go ahead. Take away the hurdles on the road to the political solution and the political dialogue. The result, before we speak about Lebanon, the result in Syria is failure. The failure of the international front and the failure of the regional and internal front who exerted coherent efforts to control Syria. It failed. That's it. That's the truth. Now, even watch some of the media outlets, satellite media outlets, they point to the same thing. They say, here we weren't able, here we failed, here our plan wasn't appropriate, here we didn't know what we wanted. No, you knew what you wanted and you planned well and you took advantage of all the available capabilities and you failed. That's the truth. Now, here, let's behave in a realistic manner. Let's not stick to the same stubbornness. Take advantage of the horizon in order to treat the wounds of Syria, preserve Syria, to rebuild it, to re-give it its role, its traditional role. This is the responsibility of the Syrians first and foremost, and the responsibility of the Arabs and the countries and peoples of the region. If this result, of course, unless the March 14, especially the future movement, except if they have another perspective, if they have had another dream, if they have different information, if they have a different analysis of the regional and international situation, if they believe that the situation is not as such, then that's a different story, because then that's a problem of misreading what is going on. From here, I go to the Lebanese perspective. And so I say, don't delay anymore. Don't delay anymore. On the contrary, any more delaying and any more waiting will actually, and it's unfortunate for me to speak in such a way, in such a situation, this will improve the conditions and will improve the position of the other side. When Haj Abu Hassan, the head of Hezbollah's parliamentary bloc, spoke about this, he wasn't threatening you, he was advising you. There are political realities. Now, we accept 996 and other formulas, but maybe when conditions change, we might not accept. So take advantage of the opportunities. Nobody is threatening anyone. We're advising one another. As a result, because we are intent and keen on preserving the interests of the country, we're advising you. The situation in Syria is not as such, not as you believe. Those who say they'll return from Damascus Airport, they'll remain where they are. It's better for you to reconsider and return from Beirut Airport. Beirut Airport is open for all Lebanese, and Beirut International Airport, the airport of the martyr Rafiq Hariri, welcomes all Lebanese who return to Lebanon. There's no problem. And so, let's delay this. Let's speak directly and assume responsibility. Of course, I would like to remind you that about 2 years ago, or maybe more, maybe less, I had a speech on a certain occasion, and I mentioned back then that you, the March 14 movement, from 2005 until about 2 years ago, around 2011, you spoke about different stages, five or six stages. I don't want to take your time and go into details. you spoke about different stages during this very sensitive period in Lebanon, but you failed at every time. And I said back then, you are pinning your hopes on the Syrian situation and you will fail. I say once again, this approach has failed. Once again, let's speak about Lebanon. What's happening in Lebanon? Let's put our feet on the ground. Let's not fly in the air and live in dreams. Let's look at the situations we have inside Lebanon, our people. Let's begin with the issue of salaries for the Lebanese, about our oil, about security, about, for example, those people, those employees of the Lebanese electricity company, the electoral law, the presidential elections of Lebanon, all of the different files, all of them are suspended, are frozen now. Now, I still have one point to say in this perspective. At the beginning of my speech, I said I don't want to speak about who takes responsibility and who doesn't for this situation we have in Lebanon now. I say now that Lebanon today is between an extended comprehensive status whereby we have a frozen status. Do I need anything to show you that we have a country which is disrupted, which is frozen, where everything's frozen? Everybody feels this. There needs no proof. We don't need any proof. Now, when we refer or when we look into this, it seems that the way to end the status quo in Lebanon, according to March 14, not according to us, according to March 14, there's no need to tie or link national dialogue with the government. There's no need to link all of this with the government. However, let's go along. According to March 14, what do they say? They say that if we want to go to the table of national dialogue, a government must be formed beforehand. That's what they say. In order for the parliament to once again be active and hold sessions, they need a government. To solve all outstanding issues, we need a government. Meaning the whole state is not functioning according to their own beliefs. They believe, their conclusion is that forming the government is the only way to confront the status quo, the non-functioning of the state. In order to form a government, we are saying that we agree with the 996 formula. 996 means 9 for the 9 for March 14, 9 for the president, 6 for the other group, March 8. Meaning that the government which will be formed, it might, we might have a disruption, a veto power in this government. If we have a government, 996, what does this mean? Look at these solutions. First of all, the situation in the country will improve. We will be more comfortable in the country. There will be also time to sit down. There will be a place to sit down and talk. We will all return to the table of national dialogue. And third, the parliament will once again go into session. It will hold sessions and discuss all the laws and bills related to the lives of the people, related to the interests of the people. And fifth of all the governments related to all the decisions related to the government, which need 2/3 majority, nobody can disrupt them. What will remain, what remains, is that we might possibly have veto power when it comes to the decisions that require a 2/3 majority. But this could be discussed, it could be addressed. And this is possible. It's not something which is certain or for sure. It might happen, it might not happen. You, the Lebanese, I'm speaking here to the Lebanese and to the Lebanese people, I speak to everyone. We are now up against two assumptions. We have the first assumption, which is to continue with the status quo, whereby the country or the state is not functioning, irrespective of who's responsible. That's not the issue. The vertical division in the country, meaning those in the middle who could tilt here or there as a result of the public opinion, are very small in number. So if we continue to say that you are responsible, and if you say that we are responsible, if we continue this exchange of blaming amidst the divisions in Lebanon, this won't lead us anywhere. We're losing the country, we're losing the people and the state. So that's one assumption. The second one is, no, you, show some humility. We showed humility when we agreed with nine. We, having nine, is less than the normal